I've been pining to teach this all day. Just pining, and I pray it comes out, because this is an operation I just got a glimpse into by revelation, and I'm still trying to wrap the word around it. The kind of way the gift works is you just kind of jump in there, and the Lord will help you out a lot. He's given us a few things, and I want to jump into that. But as you know, some of the greater operations of the kingdom of God require some training on our part to understand how that works. Jesus made it look so easy. Don't you love it when you see a baseball star or a basketball star or a golf star, and they come out there and they look at make it look so easy? And when you try to do it, I mean, these guys that can shoot scratch golf, and you know, you go out there and say nothing to it, you know, and you spend a lifetime just trying to break 80, you know, and they're going 5 under, 6 under. It's because there's a certain skill that they've mastered, and that's the way it is with the kingdom. There's things that we have to learn. Some of us get the idea that because we know God, we walk with God and swim in God's river, that someday he's just going to come and do it. And in reality, he's already done it. But he has given us the Holy Spirit to help us come up higher. And one of the things I've noticed, especially probably in the last 5 to 6 years, what the Lord's been endeavoring to train us in, everything he teaches you is for a reason that inevitably is a building block for the next level. And if you don't learn that one properly, you can't go to the next level. And the higher you get up, sometimes it's hard for people to relate to it. It was hard for them to relate to Jesus. A lot of them walked away from him because he was constantly frustrated with his disciples because he'd say something and they didn't get it. They didn't understand, and he wanted them there. One of the greatest passions I think the Lord has is for us to be where he wants us to be, to operate the way he did, and to function. And the cry of our heart is to learn that, to learn more than just coming to church and, you know, having a prayer line and people fall out. When there's a lot of things that are deposited, and I'm not making fun of that because we do that here often. But there just seems always this other realm that's unapproachable or untouchable. You hear about it. People cry out for it. You know, they get together and they cry and they lift their voice. But that's a realm we have to grow into. And in growing into, it's more than just our maturity. It's a process that we have to learn to operate and function the way he did. And there was something uncovered this week in a great way, and I want to try to just possibly introduce it to you, because I'm learning myself. Amen. I'm in learning myself, but I'm liking it. Praise God. So turn in your Bibles to Matthew 16. I have like so much scripture I want to give you. Some of it I'll exhort. Some of it I want to take you verse by verse. I'm going to cover some ground tonight. I'm going to take you back a little bit and review where we've been at a lot lately. And it just so happens that the things the Lord has been teaching us is prerequisite to understand this next operation. Amen. I call this operation casting the net, by the way. Everyone say casting the net. All right. Matthew 16, verse 19. Said, I will give unto thee the king keys of the kingdom of heaven, that whatsoever thou shalt bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven. You don't want to bind anything down here. So that's a verse that you really, listen, I know people say, well, I bind the devil, he'll be bound in heaven. There are no devils in heaven. So whatever you bind here will be bound in heaven. He's not actually talking about binding a devil up here, because he said you have authority in his name here. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Well, he's already bound, number one. Jesus already bound the devil, and there are no devils to bind in heaven. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know it takes us a long time to understand that. I mean, I've been doing that for a lifetime, but, and I still will do. I bind you, devil, in the name of Jesus. But I'm not doing it right out of this scripture. I'm binding him in the name of Jesus, but there are no devils to bind in heaven. You get that? That is actually an operation of the kingdom of God. That you bind your life down here, the kingdom of God's going to be bound. The heavenlies are going to be bound. You're not going to see the full operation. We do it all the time, and we don't know it. Thank you for that. Amen. Praise God. Now, the next verse is the one I want to focus tonight on. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on the earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's what you want to do. Everyone go like this. Look at me go. That's what I want to do. You want to loose it on the earth so it can be loosed in the operation of the kingdom of God. What he's actually speaking of here is jurisdictions. Earthly jurisdiction, kingdom jurisdiction. When he speaks of the heavens, here he's speaking of kingdom jurisdiction and earthly jurisdiction. It is possible to bind the kingdom. You know how you bind it? Unbelief, doubt, operating under the sweat of brow, operating in false doctrine. All of that will bind it up. Unforgiveness will bind the heavenlies. Strife will bind the heavenlies over your marriage. Resentment, offenses, it binds things up, see? It plugs the kingdom up from operation. Whatever you loose will be loosed in heaven or loosed in the kingdom. That's what we want. We want that loose. All the power of the Godhead, all the power of heaven, all the power of the kingdom of God, we want that loosed. It's got to be loosed. And you're the agency that binds it or looses it. Amen? All right. Now go to Matthew 11. These are introduction scriptures. We'll come back to that. I'm going to show you how the Lord loosed things here. He was really good at it. I want to be just like him. Man, there was no situation or circumstance that he encountered that he did not have an answer for it right there on the spot. Amen? What I'm finding out, what made him so effective is where he lived. He lived in a different place you and I live. He walked on the earth, but he lived constantly with the Father. He was with him. He knew how to, he had all the pathways intact. Amen? All right. Matthew 11, verse 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there is not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom is greater than he. Because you have access in the realms of the kingdom they didn't have access to. The least in the kingdom, what we have in this new... Now here he's speaking of dispensation, old covenant, new covenant transition. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, that was old covenant till now, I'm introducing a brand new covenant in the earth. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence or seizure. But the violent, strong, powerful, take it by force. I've heard conferences, seen conferences. Take it by force. We're going to take back this world. The problem is how you're going to go about doing that. Because in our immature, adolescent state, we see scriptures like this. We see God wants to take back the world. But we go about it in the flesh, or we go about it at a level of maturity, because we have been grown in the mind of Christ to understand how he does things in unlocking things in the heaven so the kingdom can release. We go about it in the natural. I'll give you an example. A good friend of mine, Gary Carpenter, had a teaching one time called Neutralized by Good Intentions. Have you ever heard that one? He talked about how a man that was called and separated by God from day one. I mean, when he was born again, the first thing he had this incredible passion for deaf people. Every time he got around somebody that was deaf, I mean, he wanted to lay hands on them. He wanted to minister to them. And he'd get in church. And all of a sudden, as he was growing in the Lord, that passion continued to grow. So what did he do? They ended up signing him up to do the sign language for the deaf. Isn't that what we do? You can call it missions, however you want to do it. But what happened is if his training, and in this particular vision that he had, this man's training didn't stop right there. He continued on, but he went into a pathway of the natural instead of the pathway to the Father. See, there's forks in every part of the road of your life. And these forks, and what he did, he went into another fork, and he went into developing hearing aid devices, and he grew to be one of the, in the vision, he grew to be one of the greatest companies in the world in the distribution of hearing aids. Good thing he did, amen? Helped humanity out, but missed the Father's perfect will. And how did he do that? Because God's perfect will is with him to go on and develop in the fullness and the stature of his sonship and be anointed by the Holy Ghost to deal with deafness from a kingdom level by the power of the Holy Spirit. He missed it. Amen? That's why we need to continue growing in the Lord and growing in the operation of the kingdom. And just because we're denied, we're in training. We're in a training ground to learn the ways of the kingdom, to function in the kingdom, to operate in the kingdom. And the Lord's such an incredible example. You know, every time you think you've gleaned something from the scripture, he opens it up and you glean it one more time. Amen. And the depth of it is just powerful. All right, before I jump into that, I want to take through a few scriptures. I know you know these, but I want to take you through them. I want this perspective in you. We're all going together, amen? John 18, I'll get back to that violent take it by force stuff later. John 18, verse 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." Everyone say, "Not of this world." He goes, "If it were of this world, then my servants would fight." That's how the world does it. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. The violent take it by force. That's not what that means. But we're going to just fight it out. Don't get in my way. That's he was contrasting right there. He goes, "My kingdom doesn't operate like that. That's not how my kingdom comes, but it's more powerful than any army to walk the face of the earth. But hence, my servants fight in another realm because my kingdom is not from here." That's very important. Second scripture, Luke 12, 31. "Seek ye first the kingdom and all these things will be added unto you. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure." Say, "good pleasure." "To give you the kingdom that's not of this world." Okay? Luke 12, I know you like this one. No, I just gave you Luke 12. Colossians 1, "He had delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us," say translated, "into the kingdom out of darkness." That was out of the jurisdiction of the law of sin and death. Translated you out of that jurisdiction into, I know, say, "Well, I know this." Yeah, but you don't have to understand. The more you get this and get it, your faith is going to lift to the place that's not of this world. You're going to be recognized your dual citizenship and understanding you have rights of access to move into a place that's not of this world. It's very crucial in this hour. The body of Christ must learn to operate from that place. And I'm not talking about just going up there to get a vision, have an encounter with an angel, and come back and nothing changes. I'm talking about bringing that realm here. There's anointings that let you go up there and see. But what I'm talking about, access and bringing it down. John 15, I love this one, verse 19. If, don't you love the way the Lord, imagine you being a disciple that doesn't know anything about this, and imagine the Lord telling you this. I'm laying a foundation here. If you were of the world, could you imagine looking at Peter, looking at John and say, what did he say? If you were of the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world. Everyone look at your neighbor and say, you are a bona fide alien. I just happen to look really good under my earth suit. Most of those aliens, you peel back the earth suit and they're, oh, look at that guy. Oh. Underneath that new man has full rights and access to the kingdom. Amen. Say, I am not of this world, but you are. He's speaking to another part of them. The Bible says you are dead in Colossians 3:3. Wait a minute. I'm not of this world. I'm dead. I was trying to teach this to my niece this week. She came over and I just believed God for something and God brought it in. I said, look, God just gave me. It was this little laptop here. I said, I just asked for this 2 days ago and God gave it to me. She goes, what? Because she's in high school. She goes, I want one of those. I said, would you like me to teach you how God answers prayer? She goes, what? And she goes to a spirit-filled Baptist kind of church. And she goes, what do you mean he answers prayer? I'm like, okay. And I had to back all the way up. I took her for a ride. I took her to Ephesians. I said, look, he was raised together far above principality. She goes, what's the principality and power? I said, don't worry about it. It's a demonic government, but look how much higher you are. She goes, demonic government? I said, she goes, are they walking around? I said, no, it's all spiritual. I said, but look, you're higher than that. And I took her into Ephesians 1, said, you were raised up there and made to sit there. She goes, her eyes were just getting bug-eyed. I knew that I just needed to blow her away. I just had to do it. I couldn't resist. She's never going to get that in the church she's going to. So I said, just, I threw it at her. But she gets so excited. She goes, I'm so excited. I said, you're raised. I said, you know, you have a right and you have access and to go into that place. But you can't go there with your body. You can't go there with your mind. Contrary to what the cult will teach you. You cannot go there through the occult. You'll stop in the Prince of the Power of the Air's region and you'll have an experience and an encounter supernatural, but you'll be in the wrong kingdom. You can't go there. You got to go there the way God said go there, by your legal inherited right by the word, having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest of all. Let us draw near. For you are risen. If you be risen, seek those things that are at the right hand of the Father. Seek those things that are at the right hand of the Father. Set your affections there. He's telling you how to start getting in tune with that part. And this week, you know, I talk about ascension faith. If I'm losing you, don't worry about it. How to ascend in that place. We've taught a lot about that. And, you know, we were praying this week and I wasn't getting in there through my normal ascension. You know, there's certain pathways you go. Worship's a pathway. Worship's a pathway of the presence of the Lord. You know that? You didn't go straight into the Father's by his word. And so I was going in there through the ascension, but nothing was happening. It's like I was blocked. And the Lord said, why don't you just walk through the door? That's what he said to me. And I saw John 10. He says, I am the door. Come in and out. He goes, having therefore access, you're a citizen. Having their access, I just walked. I saw that door and I said, I have access. I have access by the new and living way. I come through the door by everybody walk in. And I tell you, I did that, and there was three people praying with me, and they felt it too. We just, whoosh, the atmosphere changed. So, oh my God, you feel that shift in atmosphere. That's what you're looking for. Don't always look for the angel of God. Look for the shift of atmosphere. You'll feel the resistance of the natural realm broken. That's what you're looking for. That's the place you're going to administrate from. Amen. Raised. Now, this is important because most of what God is and where God is and the operations that we're looking for live there, not here. You are dead here. There's a part of you, the old man is dead. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Okay? And she got baptized in the Holy Ghost, by the way. Yeah, give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. God's going to answer your prayer. Now, that's the, I want to give you one more scripture, and then I'm going to get into the message. That's all review. I had to do it. I know you've heard it. Can you hear it again? John 3, this is the powerful one here. It's very, very important we understand this dimension and we exercise faith is what causes you to move in the kingdom. Your feet and your body cause you to move here. Faith is what causes you to move in the kingdom. Write that down. Faith in who you are, what you know, and the understanding you have causes you to move into places of the kingdom. He goes, I go to prepare a place for you. Is that a natural place or a spirit? It's a spiritual place. I'll come again and get you that where I am, there you may be also. And where I am, there you may be also is at the right hand of the Father in Christ. Where I am, there you may be now. How are you going to get there? Your feet can't get you there. Your mind can't get you there. Me praying for you can't keep you there. You might get there if someone prays for you and you get caught up in the anointing, but to go in there, it's what you see by the word. It's the pathway and the word of God that's been deposited in you becomes a pathway that you move into that realm. He said, I bless you with all spiritual blessings. Very important you understand this when I get into what I'm about to get into the next 30 minutes. It's a necessity you understand that everything is happening from that place. Everything. Say everything. All right. John 3:13, and no man. You should just live in this scripture for about a week. Hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, if you got an NIV, this next verse is not in there. Even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Say, in heaven. Where is he talking to Nicodemus? Chuck, stand up here for a minute. Chuck's Nicodemus. I am the Lord. Just for a moment in time. No man, Nicodemus, has ascended from heaven or descended from heaven except he that ascended to heaven, which is in heaven, while I'm talking to you. Can you imagine Nicodemus scratching his head on that one? Nicodemus probably said, what? He was still trying to, thank you. He was still trying to get over the part where Jesus said, you must be born again. And he was thinking, do we put the baby back in the womb? I mean, how does this work? And then Jesus going on and tells him that. You're talking about blowing his noggin. That's because he understood the operation and his inherited right to be with the Father. And he lived in that realm. It was so natural. It was just as natural as the earth. And because of that, it enabled him to do what he did. The reason why we don't have effective results is because most of our training is here in the natural, and we keep trying to do it the natural way because we're not living where God told us to live. Set your affections on things that are above, and because we encounter a little bit of resistance, we quit. Most anybody that goes to college is 4 to 6 years. Nobody thinks about quitting. Just to get a degree, to be trained in your mind for a certain function in life. But we'll quit after a month. It doesn't work. It absolutely does work. We're just needing some more training. Each time I get to the Lord, I said, oh, that's why that didn't work. Every time he gets through my understanding, I find out the problem was me. Amen. I never saw a devil that he could not whip. The only problems he had was man getting us to be where he wanted us to be. Amen. That's a long review. I need to get moving here. All right. Let me show you. Go to Matthew 15. I'm going to have to cover a lot of ground. I didn't mean to review that long, but praise God. Matthew 15, verse 29. Let me show you this. Ascension. Now, turn your Bible to Ephesians 2, 6. Put your finger on Matthew 15, 29 and Ephesians 2, 6. I'm going to show you something. Ephesians 2, 6 says, he's raised us up. Say up together, made us sit together, right? Raised up, sat down. Raised up, sat down. Watch this. Matthew 15, 29. And Jesus departed from hence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up. Where? Went up into a mountain and sat down. Went up and sat down. Raised together, made to sit. See that position? Now look at Matthew 30. And great multitudes came unto him. When? When he went up, sat down. See the position? Raised together, made to sit together. He went up, ascended into the mountain, sat down. Great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down. Notice where they cast them down. At his feet. It was the sickness and disease being cast down at his feet. Why? The whole key to the kingdom of God, you're going to get this tonight. You must be above it to have effective faith. You can't be in the middle of it and expect your faith to dominate the circumstance. Do you hear what I said? You must be, he says, I make you, in Deuteronomy, he said, I make you the head, not the tail, above only. Say above only, not beneath. The key to faith, if you're going to get it to work properly and effectively over sin, sickness, disease, poverty, anything the kingdom has authority over, you must be positioned properly. If you don't have the proper position and you're trying to exercise faith, what you need to do is learn how to get higher. Amen? And that's not through the bong system. That's through God's system. I don't have Jay and Brenda here anymore. You know, I can't pick on the bongers. I was looking for them, and I'm like, they're not here, Lord. You got to get up. To execute authority, it must be under your feet. To execute authority, you must learn to get above it. That's where doubt, unbelief, fear tries to dominate it, because it tries to lock us down. It's trying to lock us in, because you can't execute authority properly when you're locked down in a circle. You got to get up above it. That's why you are seated far above. It's in that position you can execute dominion by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's where it releases. That's where you loose from, by the way. Because the kingdom of God is within you. But it's not of this world. So there is a part of you that's not of this world. You are an alien. And the kingdom of God is within you. And you literally loose from that position because that part of you is not of this world and it's seated in a higher jurisdiction, provided you're in that jurisdiction. Do you get that? Oh, you're in the natural. You live like a carnal, flesh-eating outfit all the time. And then one day you decide you're going to pray, but you don't how to get into that position, and you're praying and beating the air because you're in the wrong jurisdiction. Jesus didn't pray in that jurisdiction when the bread and loaves were given to him. He thanked them, gave thanks, and looked up. He moved into that same position he was in with Nicodemus. When he's in that position, he's standing. How do you get there? There's a clear pathway when you learn to practice getting there. You keep trying to execute authority here, you're going to run into a lot of problems. And it gets frustrating. To move the mountain, you have to learn who you are, where you're from, your inherited right to have access into the kingdom, to stand in that kingdom as an heir and a joint heir, being raised together, seated together, and then you loose from that position into the earth. And whatever's loosed into the earth, it's just amazing. You live in the earth, but you're not of the earth. Isn't that amazing? All that, your body confines you to the earth, but your spirit allow you to soar in the kingdom, and you can loose from that position of the kingdom because its jurisdiction's higher than the earth. And when it's loosed from there, it's loosed from heaven. Do you understand that? But, oh, brother, you're out there. So is Jesus. So I'm in good company. Amen? All right. Now, this scripture might ring a bell. John 12:32. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will then draw all men to me. Say it again. If I be lifted up, I will draw. Do you know there's a draw in the kingdom? There's a magnetic draw. The flesh draws nothing. The flesh doesn't draw any favor. It doesn't draw promotion. It doesn't draw breakthrough. It doesn't draw anything but more poverty, more debt, more lack, more destruction, more misery, more doom, despair, and agony on me. That's what the flesh draws. And you get into that mindset and your emotions start agreeing with the mindset, you'll literally set up a dominion mechanism for your life to draw that stuff to you on a 24-hour-a-day basis for the rest of your life. The dominion mechanism will operate in reverse because your mind and emotions have stood in agreement. And now, because of the insecurity, inferiority complex, you don't know who you are. You walk around, not you, but the other people, they walk around inferior. Fear, doubt, unbelief, it'll start manifesting that. And self-pity will take over, and you think one day God's going to ride in, but the dominion mechanism's overriding everything. And it'll start multiplying that in your life and then into your generations. While we sit in a full gospel church for 20 years, until God can get through the gate, shift the mechanism, get you to come up higher. You just stop what you're doing. Come up higher. Amen. All right. Oh, I love this one. Go to Numbers. I'm going to lock the doors tonight. I'm going to get this done. I want to show you this in the old. The Lord was showing me. I said, Lord, help me today. He goes, I'm going to give you several different perspectives of this. Now I'm going to show you this in action, okay? So help me, stay with me. Slap your face, pow, pow, pow. Slap your neighbor's face, pow, pow, pow. Numbers 13. Everyone say, booyah. You're in training. You're in training to do great exploits. Some of us are getting it. Hallelujah. Numbers 13, verse 22. And they ascended by the south and came into Hebron. Of course, that's the place they drew the grapes out. Now, I want you to see what happened here. They get in there and they have an encounter with the giants. Now, here's the thing about the kingdom. You're going to be faced with natural circumstances, but interiorly, where you are will determine your victory or defeat. You know, one person can be a full gospel spirit filled brother 1 foot away from you and you be totally in two different dimensions altogether? Watch this, verse 27. And they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sentest Moses, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. Nevertheless." I'm not going to have nevertheless faith. The people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The children of Anak. The sons of Anak were there. They're still here today. They're called debt, poverty, lack, mammon, systems. You're born into. They've just befriended you. System of debt's befriended you and say, "Listen, I'll give you what you want now. Seven. Write a covenant with me, sign a covenant with me, you'll pay for the next 30 years, I'll give it to you what you want now, and I'll enslave you for 30 years. It's a good deal, isn't it? Not only is it a good deal, I'm going to be leaping and praising God when I walk out of there, hallelujah." Thank you for your enthusiasm. That's called mammon. That's called a covering. It's acceptable, so don't get under condemnation. It's acceptable, but where we're going, we want to come into the fullness of the inheritance that we owe no man anything but to love him. We leave an inheritance to our children's children, two generations deep. Amen. Now notice this. I'm going to drop down verse 32. They brought up an evil report of the land except Caleb. He saw something. Well, now look at him, verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it. We are well able." Notice what his focus. He saw something else in the middle of his encounter. He saw a position of well able. You know why? You got to get this. The giants were under his feet. He was positioned above them in his faith. Do you see that? He was so positioned, he saw them there. Until you get your circumstance there, or you get yourself up here, until you get positioned properly, your faith will not be effective. Caleb's faith, he was above it. And he knew, look, we're well able. They're bread for us. Their defense is parted from them. But the other one said, no, they're too strong. I'm going to show you what they said here. Verse 33, "And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were at our own sight as grasshoppers." Oh, a grasshopper. "And so we were in their sight. And so we were in their sight. And so we were in their sight." Reduction of belief system. Circumstance eroded who they were. And they become the tail end. And they miss their inheritance because of it. Only two of them were in the top end. Guess who had inherited that mountain, by the way? The one that spoke up. The one that saw his position. That position is what is going to release the supernatural. It's what's going to release the kingdom. And it's the position the enemy will fight you constantly on to keep you down into his playground called doubt, unbelief, depression, worry, fear, inferiority, insecurity. Just don't reach up too far. You start reaching up too far, you'll provoke a war. The enemy will leave you alone if he can mold you. Do you understand that? But you start reaching up into your inheritance, you will provoke a war because they're going to try to stop that ascent. They're going to try to stop that ascent because they know once you get positioned, they have no authority because that once that barrier and they come under your feet. Isn't that amazing? All this happens interiorly. It's not out here, my friend. It's what's going on inside you that's going to cause the release. It's where you're at in your spirit. The cultivation of who you are and understanding coming into that realm to rule and reign with him, everything must stay under your feet. That's why with a man that can come in and empty 100 wheelchairs and you ask him, how did you do that? He said, well, that was easy. They asked Jesus, which is easier for me to say your sins are forgiven or rise up and walk. It's all the same to me. That's not all the same to us. I can get Chuck born again a lot easier than I can get somebody that's on a deathbed for 40 years walking. If the church could get those people out, I guarantee revival would be in the land on a consistent basis. Yeah. Amen. All right. Now, let's get into some New Testament. Amen. Luke 5. I'm doing good. Are y'all with me? Are you breathing? Are you going to practice who you are, where you're from, how to get there? Hey, you know, when I went to calculus in college, University of Texas, of course, most of the time in class, I was stoned coming into class. You're just drunk in the spirit, so it's, you know, it's not a lot of difference there. That calculus, well, it's kind of a big difference, but it's just two different highs, two kingdoms, you know, two different, you know, oh, well, forget it. All right. That guy walked out there, and I'm telling you, if I wasn't stoned, he'd have blew my mind out. That guy, I'm turning to the girl next to me. I said, do you get anything he's saying? She goes, don't even listen to him. Go to the teachers, what they call them, the teacher's aide. Go to him after class. He'll teach you how to do this. I'm like, why isn't he not up there? He knew how to break it down. That teacher was so advanced. He didn't know how to relate. But he knew it firsthand. That's the way we got to get in the kingdom. We got to get advanced. It comes second nature to function there. Change the way we do things. It's a gradual shift. Learn to start employing some of the weaponry of your warfare. Learn how to loose. Now we're going to show you how to lose the kingdom in this next parable. This part right here, I actually learned in the prayer closet while we were praying. We had a spontaneous prayer meeting this week, we were praying, Robert and Amanda were at the house, and we were praying different things, and all of a sudden, I come into this thing, and the Lord said, cast the net, and that's what blew this revelation up that I'm trying to get over. I'm trying to find the words to it. And he downloaded it right there. And I started looking at this parable. So go over here to Luke chapter 5. Now, as you know, we recently moved a $50,000 mountain of debt in the church. Thank God we're out of debt. Amen. We're not all the way there because we're going to get out of leasing next. We're going to own our own property. But, hey, I'm thankful where we are. Now, the single revelation that did that the most is believe that you receive when you pray. And the second one was the transference of jurisdiction, when we learned how to interact with what God brought to us. When we found that we didn't actually need $50,000 to move a $50,000 mountain. I'll say it this way. We didn't need $50,000 up front to move a $50,000 mountain. Now, the first time I prayed for $10,000, it came in 3 days. The $50,000 mountain moved over a consecutive succession of months. But we learned how to interact with what God, the law of partial harvest, when they brought the Lord the bread and loaves. Now, notice this. They brought it to him. And all he really did is shift the jurisdiction of that bread and loaves. He brought them into the kingdom and blessed them from the kingdom and then sent them back into the earth. Whatever you loose will be loosed in heaven, and that multiplication of the kingdom of God released upon the bread and loaves, and it started multiplying. Yeah, give the Lord a hand for that. Now the Lord said, I taught you how to do the interact with what I bring into your domain. which, by the way, those bread loaves was 500 times less than what he needed. 5 loaves, 2 fish, the Lord asked me. How many men you think that could feed? I said 10. He said, let's use the figure 10. 5,000 men divided by 10 is 500. He goes, I was working with 500 times less. I've given you a whole lot more than that at the start. And we learn how to interact with that. This parable's different. Not a parable. This, what happened here is different. This is where he actually goes out to the harvest. He goes, now I want to teach you how to go out and take dominion. I said, okay. I know when a revelation like this is born, are y'all with me? I need y'all to be with me. I don't need 1,000 people, but I sure like 50 people that know how to operate in full inheritance. Amen. Because they're going to do a whole lot more than 10,000, I can assure you. Now, this time the Lord said, I showed you what to do when I bring it to you. Even the law of partial harvest, when I bring you 500 times less. Now, I want to show you how to go get it. Go in to this world system and draw it into the kingdom. Uh-huh. Now, the first thing you got to know is, before I get into this, let me just take you to scripture real quick. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is very crucial to this operation. Before I teach you how to cast the net, of course, we're learning to do that. As much as I know about it, I'm hot on the trail with God. You learn to do this, you're going to be so blessed, you're not going to know what to do with it. Ministry, business, anything you touch, it's going to happen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, we will not boast of things without our measure. Look at that, without our measure. But according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. Every one of you have a measure of rule. The Bible clearly defines measures of rule. In certain areas, you don't even have to ask God if that's my measure. If it deals with your family, you have the measure of rule to execute dominion in your family. Minerva Hayes prayed for his daughter that had growth on her body for 5 years. He prayed every day. He's just so determined. He kept praying and praying and praying, never an answer. Then God kind of calls him up and he has this encounter and God speaks to him audibly in his home. He says, how long are you going to put up with the growths in your daughter's body? After praying 5 years, you'd think God would have answered it after a year. He was praying wrong because he did not understand the dimension of his authority. Until we understand, we can pray, 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 pray. But now God's trying to teach us to pray. And prayer is a position for a release. What we should be spending more of our time is ascend, 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 higher, 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 higher. How long are you going to put up with the gross on your daughter's body? You have jurisdictional authority. In the ministry, you have certain authority. We have to learn to exercise our authority, but there's a measure of rule. If you're a business, what would I say? When God released the body of Christ, he said, go you into all the world. He commissioned them. Go into all the world. That was a commission for the whole body of Christ. You won't go into every single part of every inch of the world. You're going to have a sphere of authority, a measure of rule. You have to be led by the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm getting at. Before you start learning to cast the net, you're not going to go there and just start casting the net anywhere. You have to be led, understand the parameters that you're working in, understand what God's called you to do. If God's called you to have a medical sales company, then you can go and execute authority in that arena, and then God will hone that in and tell you, hey, there's a particular network that I want you to have. He'll come to tell you in dreams and visions. He'll give you a rhema word. You have a burning desire. I'm supposed to do business with that man. He'll take you right out there where the fish are. Sometimes give you the introduction to the fish. Said, they're the big fish. They're right there. I can't catch them. I prayed. They're right there. Sometimes you're in partnerships that God wants you to be in. But it hadn't unlocked yet. You got contracts, but they haven't unlocked. I mean, the fish are sitting on the table. I mean, they're on the boat. Somebody sent me a email. I should have kept that email. These guys went out fishing at night. If anybody has that email, send it back to me so I can keep it. And fish, big white fish in the middle of the night were jumping. They were jumping, and they were slapping them beside the head. They would jump over the boat. They were jumping both ways, and they would hit, and someone would jump right in the boat. It's called dominion. Gary Cassie talked about God taught him how to deer hunt. And that deer walked away from him, and he said, nope, that's just not what I prayed for. And I tell you what, God, he petitioned God, and that deer turned around, walked right up to him, and just stood there. I mean, and he was hunting with a bow, and God said, look, I can't shoot it for you. All I can do is put the deer right in front of you. You're going to have to shoot him. What is going to cause the catch? See, he's right there. God puts you, you pray for the favor, he gets you around him. He puts you in business arenas. You have no earthly business in, but you have the heavenly right to be there. Earthly standards, you have no right, but in heavenly standards, you have every right to be there. And you're right there. And Peter got his boat, and he ain't caught nothing. And Peter, Jesus steps into his boat, and he sits down in the boat. And he preaches the gospel. Understand, you need to look at this. This is so important because you don't get past phase one, you can forget about casting the net. It's not going to work. Luke 5. Are you ready? Luke chapter 5. We're learning. How do you know when you have learned? It'll be something called demonstration. That's what happens in Capernaum, demonstration. Amen. Church is in the position between Nazareth and Capernaum. We're leaving Nazareth. Hallelujah. You know, that's where they take you to the brow of the hill and trample you down, you know, that kind of thing. If you're Jesus, you can pass through the crowd. If you're not, you'll probably get trampled. It's funny. But then you get through it, you know. That's where the unbelief, you know, you struggle with unbelief everywhere. Could not do many mighty works there because unbelief. And then God said, okay, Capernaum, you're ready. This is one of the first things he did when he got to Capernaum. This is where he's going to call his disciples, the ones he's going to use, train up, equip. This was their first training. He gets to Capernaum. This is a city of demonstration. This stuff happens all the time in Capernaum. Everyone say, I want it to happen all the time with me. No more sporadic stuff. I want the kingdom all the time. Are y'all with me? Luke chapter 5, verse 1. It came to pass as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake in the Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, and the fishermen were gone out of them. Two ships. Wow. Both of those ships went out into the deep. That's important. And were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little of the land, and sat down and taught the people out of the business. That was Simon's business. And Simon fully gave that to the Lord. If you don't know how to give your business to the Lord, then you'll end up tipping God. You understand what that is? Because it's still yours. It's not his. When it's his, he has the right to sit down in it and give you the instruction of what he wants you to do with it. When it's his, he'll do that. When it's yours, you get to argue with him or ignore him. You understand what I'm saying? Thank you for your enthusiasm, but that's the way it is. You got to let him sit down if you want him to multiply. You got to let him sit down and take ownership. He wants ownership. The best way I can describe that to you, say this is a ship, if you can get that camera. Let's say this is let's say this right here. See the corner? Right here. Let's say that's the front end of the ship. Oh, this is the ship. Jesus likes to sit down. He wants home here. Man, you know how weird it is preaching up here? Oh, that is strange. We need to kind of open. Anyway, I built all that, but I can't preach up here. Anyway, when it's his, he gets to sit down and he preaches from your resources. He preaches out of your resources. And while your resources, could you imagine he could be out fishing, but instead that business is being used to preach the gospel right now. The resources are being used to preach the gospel. Now when it's yours, this is where Jesus gets. You have a place, Jesus, right up here in the front. Yeah, just a little bit further. Yeah, a little bit right here is fine. No, just a little bit further. Okay, my feet are hanging off the front of the ship. Yeah, just a little bit further. This is called 10%, 8%, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. And then God has a balancing act with your ship. That's when it's yours and not his. You probably won't hear launch out into the deep in this position right here. That probably won't come. What he's probably going to do is try to figure out how you're going to let him sit down. Because there's something in you that's not letting him sit down. And it's that marriage to the kingdom that causes the interaction to get to go out to the deep. And when he sat down, launch out. After he preached, launch out. Now when he got him out there, something pretty amazing happened. The kingdom of God got in to the boat. The kingdom of God stepped into your vessel. You were doing your own thing. You haven't caught anything unproductive, and the kingdom comes in. The Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And the kingdom has taken a first place seat. Now you get to go out in the kingdom. Now I need you to see something. He was moving out on a word of knowledge. He was moving out into a particular part of the deep. You got to know where your part of the deep is. The Holy Spirit will take you to where you belong. And there's a big ocean out there. So don't think God is going to skimp on you. He's going to take you out there where the big fish are. I got an email from here. You can see that. He goes, listen, you're after big fish. Don't quit. Stop listening to people. Don't look at your circumstance. Big fish are hard to haul in. Stay out there. He goes, but you asked for the big fish. Now, he got him out in the deep. The kingdom is drawn those resources right into the business, right up to it. And here's the problem we have. We get so close. How many of you have been so close? How many times have you said that? God, we're just so close. When are you going to do it, God? It's right. I can see it. I'm shaking hands. But I can't get the transfer made. When are you going to help us? Watch what he says. When I was in prayer the other day, we were in the high place. And the Lord said, cast your net over that. And I saw an operation of the kingdom. He said, throw the net over it. Told Abraham, every place the soles of your feet shall tread is yours for an inheritance. When I get you out there, that's your fish. You have a right to throw the kingdom, to cast that net. Stretch forth the curtains of your habitation. Lengthen the stakes. Stretch it out. Throw the net over the enemy. Throw the net in the spirit. You can't do that unless you're positioned. Could you imagine me swimming with the fish and trying to throw the net on them? Notice the position here. Verse 7, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down, say let down, let down, let down. That let down is the Greek word chaleo. Everyone say chaleo. Thayer's definition means, are you ready for this? Loose. Loose your net. Loose the kingdom. Loose the net. You can't loose unless you're positioned. Could you imagine being swimming next to the fish and trying to loose the net on? You're in the wrong environment. You don't catch fish when you're in that environment. You catch fish when you're in a jurisdiction that's higher than theirs. Land is a greater jurisdiction than sea. The Lord was teaching them of jurisdictional authority. Only in a tsunami does the sea take over land. For just a season, it wrecks everything and it goes back into its proper place. If you're swimming in the pond of carnality, you're not going to be able to loose your net to those fish. If you're doing things the way the big fish do them, if you're in their environment, you won't catch them like that. You can't throw a net of the kingdom when you're in the environment of the earth. Did you hear that? Are you writing? Are you hearing? You cannot throw the net. Just think about this, swimming in the water with a net in your hand and throwing a net in the water. You can barely even walk in water. You're not designed anymore for that environment. You're designed to be elevated. You want to know what else chaleo means? You want to know what else let down your net means? Thank you for asking. I'll tell you. It says to loose, to let down from a higher place, to lower from a higher position. You cannot cast the net of the kingdom if you don't live where God's telling you you're supposed to live. You'll never know the keys of the kingdom. I give you the keys to unlock the kingdom, but the keys require you be in position before you start loosing. But if you properly loose from your position, you have authority to throw your net. That's why you're in there and the fish are up there. I can't get them into the boat. Father, help me, help me, help me. That's not how it works. I think I'll just fast 40 days. What's going to make it work is, Father, I come to you. I am a citizen. I have access by the new and living way, having therefore boldness to enter into. I ascend into you. You maketh my feet like hinds feet. You setteth me in another jurisdiction. You set me in my rightful place as an heir. I've been raised together, made to sit together in another dimension. When I get in that dimension, now I have the right to execute authority in the earth. I can cast my net and drag it into my domain. And that which has been loosed will now be loosed in heaven. It'll get loose and it'll start jumping into your boat because you can pull it in now. You have a right to throw your net and pull it out. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, but the violent take it by force. You don't take force in the natural. Just as soon as you start knowing God, just start ascending, you will encounter seizure. The enemy will try to seize your position. He'll try to seize that position. But the strong are going to take it by force. All that happens in the realm of the spirit, nothing in the realm of the natural. We are not called to fight in war in the natural. We're called to wrestle against the principalities, but effective wrestling. Effectiveness, or we get above them. We get above the system, prince of the power of the air. Once you get above the system, you have a right to cast the net. You can cast this way. You're in a higher jurisdiction. You have a right to let it down. When Jesus said his resurrection, remember they were fishing. Again, they were catching anything. He said, cast your net on the right side. And multitudes of fish came in. This one filled two boats up. Peter, God, I want you to see this. This is awesome. I'm closing. Listen to this. You're going to love it. Verse 11, when Simon Peter saw fish filled both ships and they began to sink, and when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. Can you imagine him just doing that on the land? But he wasn't on the land. There were two boats sinking that were full of fish. He fell on the fish and said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. He looked at that harp and said, oh my God! What is this? Faith is a jurisdictional position. When you learn to get there, you can execute the authority from that place. When a church learns to get there, it'll change the world. Amen. Abraham took him up, saw the whole promised land. See, that's why you got to be up high. Saw it all. Look, Abraham, to the north, the south, east, and west. See how high he got him? He said, it's all yours, Abraham. Get it into you. Let it sink in. Get the image of what belongs to you. And then go walk it. Take every place, the soles of your feet. What did he say? Soles? Where's his position? Above, only, and not beneath. Every place, the soles of your feet is now yours for an inheritance. What the devil wants to do is drag you down into his system to get you feeling unworthy, insecure, fear, doubt, torment, all of it, to get you fighting in that so you never get high enough to know who you are and the power to cast the net of the kingdom into what God's called you to cast it into. Pretty soon, we're going to take a big net and throw it over this whole city. We're going to drag it all in. Need some more hands dragging the fish in. Drag them in. First thing we're going to do is cast the net over a few things we need before we take on the city. Father, is that mine? I need confirmation. Yes, it's yours. See that? Fear not, Peter. If you like what I did with fish, wait till you see this operation with man. I'll make you fishers of men. Wait till you see what I do with the souls of men. If you like the business aspect of it, wait till you see the salvation and what I'm going to do with the souls of men. Because I'm going to tear hell up, boy. And I'm going to use you to do it with. Amen?